Thank you, brother, for the song and the prayer. And let me just share my screen. Today, we'll be looking at
chapter 17 of the book of Revelation. And we are going to study about Babylon the Great and the great harlot of Revelation 17. And we need to answer two questions. One is, who is the harlot of Revelation 17, or who is the woman of Revelation 17, and when does this take place? We know it is during the tribulation period, and we need to know during what period or time of the tribulation period this is. Let's go and look at verse number one, and it says, and they came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me. So we see that the seven angels have poured out the vials of the wrath of God upon this earth, and we have seen the devastated judgment of God upon this earth and upon those that does not have their names written in the book of life. And we had seen so much devastation. And then after that, we see that one of the seven angels came to Apostle John and told him, he said, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore, or the great prostitute, or this great woman that sitteth upon many waters. When I look at this word great before the war, it does not make much importance to this woman. However, we see that this woman is a very important player in the book of Revelation. And it says that she is the one that sitteth upon many waters. What does that mean, that sitteth upon many waters? It means that this great war, which actually happens to be a great city, this city has much control over the nations of the earth and of the people of different tongues, different cultures of various countries and the continents of this world. And later, John describes that for us. And we see that in verse number two, this great war has a relationship with the kings of the earth and have committed fornication, and also with the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of a fornication. So there is a relationship which is probably mutual from both sides. And this great war, or this great city, has a relationship with the kings of the earth and also the people of this earth. A picture showing the relationship with the kings, rulers, presidents, prime ministers, and all of them is what we see in this picture. Another one here we see, let me see if I can just enlarge that a little bit more. We see this is the great war, the war, and she's seated on the scarlet beast. The beast is here, and the war, and we see that she has a relationship with the kings of the earth. And we see the waters behind, the blue, beautiful waters, and that signifies the nations of this earth, the people, the cultures, and the languages, which means the entire earth, and that's what it sees, that's what it means. Again, a picture of the kings of the earth, and here, the daughters of the earth, which have a relationship with this great war. And we see in verse number three, And it says, and so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. Who is this he? He is the angel. Carried away, carried me, which is Apostle John. So this angel has carried John in the spirit into the wilderness. Wilderness meaning a wide open area. Why a wide open area? Probably because the view is clear. The view is possible to understand who they are. And it says, and I, which is John, saw a woman sit upon the scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. So we see as John is looking, as John is looking at this woman, and we see the view that he's getting. He sees this woman sitting upon the scarlet beast. Who is the scarlet beast? Of course, that'll be explained to us later, but let us look at it right now. And this is the Antichrist under the influence of Satan. And this is the woman, which is supposed to be a city. And we will look at that, which city this is, because it is important for us to understand which city that is. And in verse number 4, it says, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Naturally, this great harlot, this woman that sells herself, maybe for influence, maybe for money, maybe for religious reasons, because this great harlot is also supposed to be the apostate church. The apostate church, and this one, this woman was rich and had well-dressed, and all of those we see. And verse 14 describes this woman here as a picture of wealth, extravagance, luxury, beauty, and she had a life of ease, easy. Everything was made easy because the world looked up to her and she was treated nicely. And then we look at this verse, John's attention was focused intently on this woman. You see, we find that in the first few verses, the angel had taken John to show the judgment of this woman. And look at what he sees. He sees this woman, a picture of wealth and extravagance, beauty and luxury, and all of those that we see right here in this picture. She is decked well and with all the pearls. And John, we will see in the next few verses, his emotion that comes out. He expected to see this woman or this city in ruins, burning up. But what does he see? He sees her taking a ride on this beast. And this beast happens to be the Antichrist. This beast happens to be the Antichrist with the power of Satan, where Satan has got into him and is influencing him with all the power that was given to him. And that's what we see here. And in verse number 5, it says, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. This word abominations can be mean as the wickedness and the sinfulness, and everything that is wicked and sinful was found in this woman. And we see a picture of this name written on her forehead. We see that, and we see just the word harlots that we can understand, Of course, it is in a different language, and probably the language of the city that she rules. And this woman is possibly the apostate church. It is possibly also the ruling religious, false apostate religious leadership that we see. And in verse number 6, it says, "And I saw the women drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration." Now, when I read that, the last five words, "I wondered with great admiration," I was surprised to read that, because this is the mother of all harlots. This is the prostitute. This is the one that is selling to the other nations of the world. And why should John be so admired by seeing this woman? And so let's look at this. Let's look at some of the emotions that we see about Apostle John in the text of the book of Revelation. You see, John says, "When I saw her, I wondered with great admiration." I had written in my Bible when I first read it, maybe astonishment, but no, the word is admiration. You see, let's go back and see the two other instances where Apostle John showed his emotion. You see, we see in the visions that John expresses an emotion at what he sees. If you remember in Revelation chapter 1, verse 17, when John saw the glorified Christ, what happened to him? He collapsed at the feet of Christ Jesus, the glorified Christ, who appeared before him in Revelation 1, 17. And at that instance, we see that the glorified Christ bent down and touched him and said, "Do not be afraid." That's one of the first times, or the first time that we see. And then we have another instance in Revelation chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, when no one, it reads, "When no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look at it, what did John do? He began to weep bitterly and was told by one of the elders, 'Do not weep. We have one that can take care of it, which was the lamb that was slain for us.'" And so now we come to this portion here. He is greatly astonished and had great admiration at what he had seen. He says, "When I saw her, I wondered with great admiration." And the angel asked him, "Why are you astonished?" And we will see that in that next verse. You see, in each word, in each instance, John's emotion has to be calmed and corrected by a heavenly being. See, what happened here is, what was John expecting when the angel took him to the wilderness to see, and he was expecting to see this woman or this city in ruins, burning and being destroyed? But what did he see instead? What he saw was this woman that was sitting upon the beast, actually controlling the beast, having much control and influence upon the beast. And the beast was taking advantage of that. And the beast was giving this harlot, great harlot, a ride and doing everything for this woman, which is the apostate church, which is a city, so that one day, once they are friendly and get to know well this great harlot, he can take advantage of that. And we will see that towards the end of this chapter. So John was admired when he saw this woman. So let's look at the next verse, which is verse number 7. And it says, let me just minimize that. And it says, and the angel said to me, unto me, wherefore dost thou marvel? Why, John, are you so admired when you saw this woman? What was the reason? Of course, I just mentioned, because he expected a devastation, a destruction, massive destruction of the city, which was this woman. But rather, what did he see? He saw something different. And that was the reason for John's astonishment and admiration. And then the angel says, I will tell thee the mystery of this woman and of the beast that carried her, which had seven heads and 10 horns. So the angel is ready to reveal this ministry to John about this woman and also about this beast that was carrying her that has 7 heads and 10 horns. And then the angel goes on explaining, and he says, the beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. Let's take that till then. And it says, this beast, which is now actually under the influence of Satan, and this Satan that is influencing this beast was the one that you saw was, she was, or he was, that beautiful angel that God had created, that Lucifer, that intelligent, very pretty, very knowledgeable and powerful at that time, but is not, is right now, is not. This is Satan. This is the serpent. This is the devil. That's what he's trying to explain. And shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. Who was the one that ascended out of the bottomless pit? None other than the dragon, which is Satan. And that is the one that influences this beast. And it says, and go into perdition. That means destruction. It has two meanings here. One destruction is this beast is going to produce such massive destruction of this world. And then the other meaning is God is going to destroy Satan. That's what we see here. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. So the people of this world that whose names are not written in the book of life, thereby they are the worshipers of this beast. They are the ones that took the mark of the beast, which is 666. And they are now wealthy because they are able to trade. They're able to buy and sell. And they wondered about this beast. And that's what it says. There was much wonder. And we look at verse number 9. And here is the mind which has wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. So now we get the revelation. We find this is one that has the mind of wisdom. Wisdom. The 7 heads which the beast has are 7 mountains. What is the city that seateth on 7 mountains or 7 hills? That is the city of Rome. And it says, on which the woman sitteth. The woman is controlling. This woman is the city of Rome. We looked at the women in chapter 12. The women of chapter 12 was the city, was the nation of Israel. And here, the women of chapter 17 of the book of Revelation is the city of Rome. And it says, on which the woman sitteth. the women controlleth this city, and what religious group sits on this city, in the city of Rome. It is none other than the Roman Catholic Church. They are the ones that seated over there. Let's see if I have some pictures of some of them here. We find that the woman here is controlling, sees that she has the control, which is the nation or the city of Rome is controlling this beast. But actually, if you look in our climate with what the rulers of nations do, is they use the religious system of this world to gain influence of the people. And this is the same thing that is happening where the beast is taking advantage of this woman, this city, and taking her for rides and doing everything he can to this city or to this woman. And this woman suggests or symbolizes the apostate church. Apostate means people that goes away, that renounce a religion and goes away. And when we study the churches in chapter 2 and 3, we see the last church, the church of Laodicea, could be the church that becomes the apostate church and goes into tribulation, whereas the other church that we find, the church of Philadelphia, will be the church that be raptured up to heaven. And then we have another picture here again of the unfaithful drunken woman sitting on the beast. Another picture of the women decked with all kinds of precious jewels, and look at this cup. Take a look at that. In the next pictures, we will see a resemblance to another cup that is in this world today. This is the women decked, beautifully dressed, jeweled, and drinking the wrath, drinking the abominations, and that's what we see. And here we have come up to verse number 9, and let's go to 10. This is a difficult verse to make interpretation. In fact, this whole chapter has some difficulties in interpretation, but we'll try to do the best we can. And let's move to verse 10. And verse 10 says, and there are 7 kings. 5 are fallen, and 1 is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. Let's just take this one verse and see if we can analyze that verse. Now, there are 7 kings, and 5 are fallen. Let's look at the 7 kings or the 7 heads. We have the kingdom of Egypt, kingdom of Assyria, Babylonian Empire, Medo-Persian, Greek, and Roman. When you look at these, 5 of these are done with. These 5. Remember that these visions are being seen by Apostle John, who is living during the time of the Roman Empire, this 6th empire, Roman Empire. And so these 5 kingdoms are over with, and the 6th is the Roman Empire. And then it says, and the other one is not yet come. Which is the one that is not yet come? The 7th one, which is the revised Roman Empire. We see that the nations of Europe are forming together loosely, but it is still forming, the European Community or the ECC. And we see that there was a total of 28 nations that formed it. But now the city or the nation of United Kingdom, UK or Britain, has exited out of this the European Union. And now there are 27 nations. Now these 27 nations are loosely held because there are some nations that want to get out of it because they are running into trouble economically, because Brussels, which is headquarters for all of these nations, these European nations, they control the printing of the money. They control the finances. And so Italy today, Spain today, Greece today, which are in financial hardships, they cannot print their money like what we can, this American nation, like we can. We can open up the presses, and they are doing so. They are just printing away money in America today. And the effects of that are going to be seen from a few years to many years to come, with inflation, with the value of the dollar going down, and all of those things will happen. But here in Europe, these nations, Italy, Spain, Greece, Portugal, and many others are not happy because they have no freedom to run their nation because they are in the European Union. And it is quite possible that they will leave. They will break out of that so they can survive. And so when we look at that in verse 10, the latter part of verse 10, and it says, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. Who is this? The revised Roman Empire. It has not come, but it is coming. Keep a watch on the situation in Europe. Now we see that Germany and France, which are the pillars of this European Union, they are having trouble between themselves because of all the financial and fiscal situation over there. And then in verse number 11, it says, and the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth. You see, the beast is the eighth kingdom or the empire. Okay, so that is the eighth empire. And continue reading verse 11. It says, even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition. You see, he is of the seven. Why? Look at these nations here. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persian, Greek, Roman, and the revised Roman Empire, maybe, because it has not come as yet. These blaspheme our God, the God of heaven, the true and living God. They never had any respect for the living God. And so this beast, which is the eighth, which is the kingdom of Antichrist, they will also blaspheme the God of heaven and goeth into destruction, which is destruction of the nations of the world. And also he or this beast will be destroyed by God. Let's look at verse number 12. Verse number 12 says, and the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings, one hour with the beast. So these 10 horns are who? These are 10 kingdoms, because that is explained by the angel earlier. So these 10 kingdoms, which thou sawest, are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet. They are probably existent today, these kingdoms, but they have not received power as kings, but will receive power one hour with the beast. So the beast, what it is this beast that controls these 10 will give power to these kingdoms for a short period of time, and then he will absorb them all. he will then become, take over these kingdoms, and he will be the dictator of this world, which is none other than the Antichrist, which is under the influence of Satan. Let's look at another picture. Look at this. This is the woman, the harlot, which is the city of Rome. You see, another reason why it did not declare it as the city of Rome is, I think, an easy explanation. You see, why didn't the word of God tell that it is the city of Rome? You see, rather it says it was a city on seven mountains or maybe seven hills, because this was given, this vision was given to Apostle John. He was living during the time of the Roman Empire rule. And if they knew about this, they would have slaughtered him. And that may be one of the reasons why this is called Babylon, or revealing that this is the city on the seven hills. Interestingly, you know, I was searching, is there any other city with seven mountains or seven hills? And to my surprise, there was one, a few other cities, but one of them is a city that you know, and that was the city of Trivandrum, the city of Thiruvananthapuram. That's the city that also has, that says, that sits on seven hills. You know, that is not the city that is named here. Here, it is the city of Rome. I just put that out because that is of interest for those that are from the region of the Kerala state. Now we see another picture. You see, I told you to recognize this golden cup that she is holding. Look at this, the golden cup. If you have, any one of you have been to Catholic Mass, the priest holds up this for their communion. And is there a resemblance? Is there something related to that? I do not know, but possible. This woman is part of the false religious system that we see. Let me go up and see where we were. We have read till, let me see where we last entered. Verse number 13, it says, these have one mind and shall give their power and strength. Power and strength unto the beast. So this is talking about those 10 horns, which are the 10 kings, which said they have not received any kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings, one hour with the beast. And we see that these have one mind. All of these 10 nations, the kings of this nation, and possibly even the people of this nation, have one mind, and their power and strength, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. So these 10 European nations will give their authority to this beast, or rather this beast, Antichrist, under the influence of Satan, will take over control over from these 10 kings, and he will rule, and he will be the dictator of this world. Let me skip verse number 14. I'll come back to that verse the last. Let's go to 15. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the war sitteth, are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongue. So that is what we saw in the first verse. And these are the nations of the world, of different languages, different nations, different cultures, and all of those that we read. Let's go to verse number 16. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the war. and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. So we see the 10 horns, which are the 10 nations, those 10 kings that was upon the beast, which is the Antichrist. They hate the war. You see, they hate this woman. But why were they carrying her around? They were wanting to grab her power, her influence, and destroy her. And that's what they were doing. Let's go back to that verse. And what did they do? They made her desolate. They made her naked. And they shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. This is the judgment of the nation the city of Rome. Look at this beast, which is the Antichrist, takes over this city of Rome. And this is the apostate church, kills the apostate church. They will have no more rule in this world because the Satan or this Antichrist has taken over this rule of the entire world, which is a world dictatorship and one world order, as we will see. And then as we go on, we will see in verse number 17, for God had put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. So if you look at this one here, God is authorizing this Antichrist under the power of Satan to do all these things. So the question for us is, why does God give Satan, this Antichrist, all the power that he needs? You see, one reason could possibly be, it is not that this is the reason, but one reason could be so that Satan will not turn around and tell God, God, if you had only given me power, if only you had let me rule this world, I would have taken over this world and even taken over your kingdom and subdued you. But there is no chance for this Antichrist under the influence of Satan to do that. And we will see why as we go to verse number 14. Look at verse number 18. And it says, and the woman which thou sawest is that great city, city of Rome, that sitteth upon seven mountains or seven hills, which reigneth over the kings of the earth, has full power over the earth. Now let's go back to verse number 14 and see what we have. And then we still need to answer this question, when does this happen? You see, this happening of killing away this apostate church, this city of Rome, will be during the mid-tribulation period. You see why? We look at it and we see that it is during the mid-tribulation period that Antichrist takes over full control, full power, and dominates this world, become the dictator of this world, and he comes into the city of Jerusalem. He comes into the temple of God and he defiles the temple, comes in, sits in there, and the false prophet tells the people of this world to worship this beast. You see, and that's when the Jews realizes, man, this 7-year treaty was a false treaty, was something that they tricked us, and realizes that this false prophet tells the people, if you do not worship, we will kill you. They will be killed for those that do not worship this beast. Let's go back down to verse number 14, and we will read that. And these shall make war with the Lamb. These, who are these? Antichrist and the nations of this world, because he's ruling this world. And the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called chosen, called, chosen, and faithful. So this verse tells us of the end times, of the last at the war or the battle of Armageddon, where these nations will war against the Lamb. And the Lamb is Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus shall overcome them easily, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Who are they? Us, the believers, that is coming back with him in those white horses. So the women of chapter 17 of the book of Revelation is the city of Rome. Let us close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for making it easy for us, O Lord, to understand this city called Babylon, this city which is under the influence of Antichrist and Satan. Oh Lord Jesus, we pray that every effort that we have, every opportunity we have, that we will tell people about the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not want them to go through this tribulation. We want them to be in heaven with us. Father, we thank you for this privilege. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for being our Savior. Lord, we thank you for all those in attendance here today. Lord, we pray that you would bless them. Although we have gone through some difficult times, first the pandemic, and then the snowstorm, and then the problems with the lights and water, but you are taking care of us, and we thank you. We praise you. Bless everyone, Lord. We ask all of these things. In Jesus Christ's precious name, amen.